Hello and welcome to our CMD Bite Size series, where we explore a range of ministry and theological issues. I'm Rebecca Evans, Ministry Development and Inclusion Officer for Truro Diocese, and in this episode I'll be talking to Becky Lines from Transforming Mission Camborne about Wild Church. Hello Becky, and thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you here. Before we get properly started, can you tell us a bit more about what you do outside of Wild Church, who you are as a person?
Yeah, why not? So I'm not a hugely interesting person. I don't know. My main thing, I'm a grandma and I just absolutely love being a grandma. So spare time is probably taken up with my grandchildren. And then apart from that, if I do get any spare time, I love to go for a walk. I like to visit country churches and I love gardening.
Yeah. So what's your role within Transforming Mission and can you introduce us to Wild Church? A bit.
Yeah. So within Transforming, I'm the family and children's leader. So most of that is running groups. So there'll be toddler groups and groups for families and after school groups and clubs. And then I visit schools. So we've got several schools that we visit, from nurseries through. I don't do the senior school. Someone else does that. But I do plenty of the junior and infant schools in the area. I run activities at the churches. And do community outreach. And then that all sort of shifts during the holidays so that we try and do lots more things. We've got a cluster of five churches. Three of them are very rural and then two in-town ones. So it's trying to make sure that there is something that encourages community people to come in and see our churches, maybe take part in something. Not necessarily services. The role really is to encourage people to understand that actually it's okay to talk to Christians just about, and that we're helpful and that we love them and we care for them.
Lovely. And tell us a bit about Wild Church. Who's that aimed at and what's involved in Wild Church?
Yeah, so for me, it's something that it's a real gift, because I didn't realise that you could have Wild Church. I didn't realise that that was okay, that it was acceptable, that that's, you know, that is a service, that is something you can take part in. And initially, we ran what we call story walks. So before this job, I worked at Cold Rose and I was the family leader there. And we were doing story walks, which was taking families just on walks around the area and really looking, really wondering about what we came across and then finding those things and making a story out of them. So we started that at Treslothan Churchyard and we had some young families come along. And then we really thought, you know, where is God in this? For me, when we're in the world, that's where I connect. That's where I connect to God. That's where I see that actually this is the world that he gifted. This is the world he created. But do we need to make that more focused? So I'd had some experience of, you know, other people running these sorts of things. In fact, the first one, I was in the middle of London. We were just outside Westminster, and it was a group I'd gone there for a training, and one of the ladies said, you know, we're going to just run something called Wild Church. We're going outside. So we're in the middle of London in this small green space, and we stood under a tree, and she did some prayers, and then she said, you know, just how's God speaking to you in this space? And we went off quietly on our own, sort of to the four corners of this small green space, and you've got sirens going around you, you've got literally people being interviewed for the television, you've got people coming and going from Westminster, and you're on your own with God there. And that really spoke to me, that actually it can be anywhere and it can be anything. So that's what we want to bring to people, that, you know, that you can connect to God anywhere. You don't have to go into a church building, you don't have to be, you know, wildly organized. You need to be able to give him your time and to be able to listen. So Wild Church, initially, again, we were trying it at three of our churches in the churchyards, and some are more wild than others. It's not wild as in, you know, wild and out of control, and it's not wild as in, you know, we don't know what we're doing. It's wild as in, you know, as Jesus went into the wilderness, as Jesus went to the mountains, as mm-hmm. Jesus went to the lakes. It's, you know, it's that sort of wild. Mm-hmm. And when people come, I suppose they don't know exactly what to expect, you know, when people first come. Because it is quite a quiet space. It's quite a contemplative space. We call it wandering and wandering. We're doing the both. And we sit together. And it's for all ages. At the moment, we're focusing on Crowan Church. We're doing it at Crowan Church, where we've been able to develop a prayer garden. So we've got a special space where it happens. And people come and we begin by just sitting together, you know, just sort of taking in whether it's raining or whether it's sunny, whatever is going on, you know, we just sort of climatise ourselves to being part of the wild.
Yeah.
You know, and then we begin with a Bible passage and we focus on that. And it's that chance to really talk about that, which you don't get in a church service. You know, let's just, you know, what's that saying to you? What's it saying to you in this space? And then I give them ideas for sort of how they might want to wonder about that. And that could be something active, or it could be going for a walk, or it could be sitting quietly. So we have different things. And then we come together to share maybe how God's spoken to us. So a sort of wild church, that's a sort of typical wild church, but it goes in many different directions, as you can imagine.
Yeah, and I guess there's something very precious, actually, about being able to take that time, because not being a grandmother yet, but being a mother, I feel like sometimes you're quite often rushing and one of the children will say, oh, look, here's a caterpillar or something. Like, oh, we've got to go. We're going to be late for school or something like that. So actually having that dedicated time to be in nature and to be focused on God and creation and what you're seeing in that space is really special. And I think perhaps the way that children connect better than adults sometimes, it's something that we kind of unlearn as we get older.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really important. Yeah, I have to say, when I'm walking my grandson to school, and we have to leave 5 minutes earlier because it takes so long walking, because we do have to stop. There's a certain tree we have to say hello to, and this is, you know, we have to learn a name of a new plant each time. Yeah. And actually allowing yourself to go at a child's pace is really difficult.
Yeah.
And people do get impatient, don't they?
And something in that as well about the heart of Sabbath, I think, about that resting and being able to reflect in that way is really important.
That
sounds wonderful.
No, it's a real gift, isn't it? It's a gift to be able to give people.
So do you think people have found that as a beneficial way of doing church, even if they've not been used to that kind of style of worship before, to come into something like that?
Yeah, I like to think so. I mean, you know, we get very positive feedback. People don't necessarily come every single time. You know, it might be something they dip in and out of. Family life is very different, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the majority of people that come are people who've been to church, who it is part of their life. You know, I think it's more difficult to get people outside of the church to engage, isn't it? And that's something we need to think about. But they've come and they're happy to spend that time. And that's, they say, you know, I just stopped. I just breathed. I just was able to gift myself, because you do have to tell yourself it's okay. And by having something that's called something and a space you go to, that allows you to do that. Whereas we could do it any time, couldn't we?
Yeah,
we could all of us stop for an hour. But we don't, because it feels wrong.
Very much. It's about carving out that space, isn't it? And knowing that you've got that time to do that. And I remember somebody saying to me once, when I first became a mother, that they'd found it very difficult. They realised that they hadn't actually modelled to their children rest. And I think actually that's a really tricky thing, because I'm so often like, oh, I've got 5 minutes, so I'll quickly do this. Or actually, once I've done this, I'm kind of running through in my mind what I could get done next. Yeah. And actually that's not a healthy way to live in many respects.
No, it's so much in this society, isn't it, that they're so busy. There is so much to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like a wonderful way of taking time and actually connecting with nature, especially when we live in this part of the country and we have so much wonderful nature and beaches around us, that even if learning to do that during a service, that actually people kind of take that into their everyday, and perhaps when they're walking a dog or walking to school, they actually use those practices to connect in different ways during the week. Is there a particular engagement with Wild Church that's inspired you, or a story about someone that's particularly had an impact?
Well, I sort of, I've been thinking about this. You know, obviously every engagement is like, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you that somebody has seen this the way I see it. You know, life is, you're told all the time, aren't you, about mindfulness, and you're told now about you need a spiritual connection. And yet people don't look towards God for that. So I would say there's a young man, he's 30, and that's a sort of age group that we don't have much in the church, or in our churches in particular. Grew up as a Christian, but like most people, as a teenager, as a young man, moved away from it, and comes to Wild Church through encouragement from somebody else. And he absolutely says, you know, I need this time, you know, And recently he's got married in a church because he said to his fiancée, actually, that's the part that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not a church goer. And he said, no, the one thing I insist on is that we get married in a church. And when he comes to these sessions, you know, he will sit and draw. He'll do those things that are, you know, not part of what he allows himself to do the rest of the time. So I think that that really does inspire me, that someone of that age. And you notice with the dads that come, I think, you know, you see them getting something different from it. You know, mm-hmm. obviously men are encouraged, you know, you play with your children, or you kick the ball, or you climb the trees. But actually, I've seen them going off, sitting. Another man who comes along, he's sat on a wall with watercolours, drawing. We were doing it about Celtic Christianity that week, and we were looking at the Celtic crosses in the churchyard, and he was sitting and drawing those and sitting up on the wall doing it. And I just sort of glanced over and I thought, you know, that's his space, and he's allowing himself that space, and his children are seeing a man do that. And isn't mm-hmm. that a wonderful thing?
Yeah, absolutely, because mm-hmm. it's important that we model that sort of behaviour to children, yeah. to actually take space, not yeah. just to kind of rush them on to do everything and to achieve everything. So what would you say to anyone that was thinking about setting up a wild church? Are there any things that you've learned that you think, oh, this really worked well, or I'd have done this differently? Or
yeah. So like I said at the beginning, we've done it in three different venues, and I think it does make a difference where you are. For me, some of those are sort of more spiritual places. You know, we talk about the thin spaces, don't we? And people have mentioned that at some of the places. You know, this feels like a thin space. I've actually, on the table here, I've got these pictures, and I was just sort of looking at them. You know, I've got pictures of some boys climbing a tree, having a wonderful tree. I mean, you know, what better gift have you got than, you know, allowing people to be able to go and climb a tree? In church, children, you know, they're often told, you know, to keep quiet, or given some activity to do, or they're taken out and sort of taught separately. And obviously at Wild Church, it needs to be an inclusive space. So I think that's quite important, that you've got somewhere that is an inclusive space. We've got at one of them some log seats. They've been there now for a few years. And so when you turn them over, I turned them over this week, there were newts, and there were little baby toads, and, you know, beetles and slugs, and all those things were under there. Something fantastic that immediately connects the children with nature, or connects all of us. I love seeing them, you know. I can't say enough. I love to just go and check on the newts and the excitement. We found 30, you know, not that long ago. And I was like, wow. So I think, you know, you can, of course, do it. Like I said, in the middle of Westminster, you can do it in the middle of the town, but it is lovely if you've got a nice space that you feel you can make yours and it becomes yours. But probably some of the most successful ones we've done have been where we've been out and about. You know, we call wild wanders. So we've gone to different spaces, and we've travelled, and we've sort of stopped, and we've seen things. And even if I've walked there before, I'll see something new every time. So that is important. But I think having as little equipment as possible. I've been to other wild churches where there is a lot of equipment suddenly bought out. And I think that immediately, for me, you know, that may work for them. But for me, it stops it being spontaneous. It stops it being that connection with God, because we're putting the man-made into it and we're not looking at the God-made.
Yeah, very much so, facilitating it rather than yeah, just letting things yeah, happen organically and yeah, see where they go.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And do you have a vision for the future? You know, what comes next? Is it about growing it or developing it in a particular way, or just, as you say, kind of letting it develop organically?
Yeah, we do need to let it develop. We're doing some different things. So we got our first family pilgrimage this summer. So we're going to go from St Erth, then we're going to go to Ludgevan, stay there overnight, and then walk down to Marazion. So that's a sort of new venture, and it's Wild Church on the move, isn't it? It's Wild Church sort of developing, I suppose, in that way. I think we'll always want to have that sort of monthly spiritual refreshing base that we all come to and we start to share our ideas. But that will be one of the things I hope to make annual, you know, and I hope maybe we can start to look at more, because there's lots of lovely routes and, you know, on the Saints Way and things, so we can look at those. And then we're also doing... We do wild wanders, and that tends to be more in the summertime. So we go and visit different places. Those are the ones that more people who aren't churchgoers will join in with.
Okay.
And we do Batten Nature Evenings, which is another sort of outreach of Wild Church. And that does, that draws, you know, again, a different crowd. It's in the evening. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to not focus on Sunday morning necessarily.
Yeah, sure.
I think we, you know, there's so much in the church, isn't there, about Sunday morning. But at, when I talk to families, they're like, oh, do you know, it's really difficult to stop on a Sunday morning. That's our one family time. Or it might be that the church service is at 11 and the churches have kind of, when I started, seen it as outdoor Sunday school, which it isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a, it's a thing in its own right. And I think 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, if we're realistic with families, it's a really difficult time.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
So our sort of evening things, I think, so I'm looking into, you know, what other things can I do at other times, maybe in other places. We've always said, you know, in my role at TM, you go to the people, you don't expect them to come to you. So, you know, it's what can I do that's where people are? How do we reach
people?
How do we do that? Okay. So that's something I'm really sort of got to think about, I am thinking about. I've started started doing wild worship with the schools as well, some of the schools that I work with. And that's something that's going to be developed, something we do more with. And then you're talking to those wonderful children who haven't had that learned experience. They haven't got that in their families of going to church. Mm-hmm. So this is something that they will have, even if they never take it on, they'll have had that.
Had that experience, yeah.
So I'm, yeah, so that's, for me, maybe that's not, you know, Wild Church itself experience, but for me in my role, those are the sort of ways that I'm developing it.
Lovely. Well, it sounds like a wonderful experience, not just for children, but for adults, and something that can be done really well and genuinely done well intergenerationally, which is a really nice space to be in, I think. Really, really amazing space, in fact, because actually so much of church is quite difficult to do well intergenerationally.
Yeah.
So having that connection outside and enabling adults to think about learning like children do is a real positive, I think. So,
yeah.
Is the one thing that you would like listeners to take away from today, anything in particular that you've said that you think, actually, I'd really like people to remember this, if they're going to hear one thing from this, what would it be?
Mm. Okay, well, do you know, I think as I was sort of preparing to talk today, I was a bit stuck, and I was like, so for me, going outside solves things. That's where God speaks to me. I need to go outside. You know, for others, you know, there's different places, aren't there? But I just went outside in my garden yesterday, and I don't know, so many things struck me that I think we can learn from that, can't we, in a gardening space. Like I say, I was 50 before I had a garden. I've always wanted to have a garden. It's only a small garden, it's tiny, but it's absolutely packed with plants. And there are plants there that I've inherited from the people that there were before. And there are plants that I've put that haven't succeeded, and plants that have absolutely flourished. And then things that have gone mad and I've had to cut back. And I think that's what Wild Church is. It's something that you don't know what you're going to come across.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to experience. You don't know which bits will flourish. You don't know what is inherited from others. But it frees you up. A church weighs you down sometimes, a church building, with all the things that you inherit. With Wild Church, I think it doesn't. So I would encourage anybody to give it a go. And I'd encourage anybody to just stop wherever you are and just stop and look around you and see how many things God's gifted you and how many things you can connect to.
Lovely. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you, and I hope the pilgrimage goes incredibly well. It sounds like an amazing journey to do, especially with a group of families, and I hope the weather is kind to you for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you once again for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to listen to more, please do follow and share. Thank you for listening.